Exodus chapter 17 this morning for a few minutes. Exodus chapter 17. I almost feel like I need to apologize for stealing your youth pastor, right? Except it wasn't me, it was the Lord. Yes, I admit that I had a hand in it in the sense of, as God was calling me to Maranatha, and I told the young people this morning, March 31 will live in infamy in our family's life. That was the day Dr. Doug Jackson, our chairman, who's a dear friend, called me up. And if you know anything about Dr. Jackson from Saginaw, Community Baptist Church in Saginaw, Michigan, he's short and sweet. You know, he just gets right at the stuff. So, there's no introduction. Dave, how you doing? How's ministry? Dave, would you like to be president at Maranatha? I'm like, whoa, that was not on the radar. And so as our life was thrown into turmoil, I'll admit to you, church family, that part of that decision-making process was seeing if the Lord would protect our church family. God has done some great work up at Heritage in Roscoe, Illinois, and we wanted that work to continue. And Pastor Micah was a man that I felt would have the same heartbeat and same passion, would cherish and love those dear folks up there, see the work go forward. So it was about a week later, we actually came down here for Pastor Micah's birthday and my father-in-law's birthday. They have their birthday almost close together, so we were doing a double celebration. I pulled Micah aside and I said, Micah, this is what's going on in my life. Well, you know him. I mean, I said that, and he starts cheering me on right away. Oh, Doug, you should do that. This is the place you should go. That's, yeah, I can see it all happening. I said, oh, yeah, whoa. I said, at the end of the day, I have nothing ultimately to do with this, but I'm burdened for my church. If God would take me to Maranatha, I don't want Heritage Baptist to flounder. I don't want it to go without a shepherd long. Would you consider? I said, the church has to decide, could I potentially, if God would continue to direct our life, would you be willing for me to put your name in? So in that sense, you can blame me, right? And as you know, and I'll be glad to tell you now if you don't, Micah had several opportunities to go elsewhere, and God kept him here. He loved you folks. And I know that, I understand that heartbeat. So I know that you've given up much, and I appreciate that. And I know that God will bless you for letting Micah follow the Lord. That's so critical. And so anyways, and I know that you've also had, in full circle here, Matthew Holloway's been here. Well, I'm going to be marrying him and Katie in June. They are dear children, not real children, in a sense, not biological children, but dear children of ours that we've had opportunity to just pour in. He was a culmination of some of the ministry that we've had with him over the years. As he was my intern this past summer, he helped me pack boxes. and did a few, many other things. And when Pastor Schlegel, he's on the board. And so he gave me the hairy eyeball the first time he saw me. After Micah's name had been presented to Heritage, he said, what are you doing? He said, please forgive me. Well, then with the right, I find out that would you recommend anyone? Well, he told me some of the parameters, and I had thought of Matthew, but he was young. I knew that, and he was just getting done with Bible college and so forth. So that wasn't first on either of our radars, but then as God is directing, and I'm not going to say what God's will is for you, but it seems as though the Lord is kind of pushing that way. My heart is thrilled. And I'm just one person. But folks, Matthew and Katie are top notch. We wanted to keep them at Maranatha. Maybe that helps you. And here's what makes them great. Well, it's not like they have years of experience. Of course they don't. They're just young. But they have hearts for the Lord that's unusual, that's noticeable, that you don't see every day. Matthew served us at Heritage and continues to do that there for the moment, just humbly and faithfully. He will do anything you ask. He's, all right, let's do it. He's not afraid to tackle any kind of task. And Katie, that sweet soul, he is marrying way up. She has got a godly mom and dad to follow and see the examples of. And she's wise in her thoughts, careful in her ways, very skilled at the piano, all those things, and just loves to be a part of education as well. So you folks, we're praying with you. Can I just say that? We're praying with you that the Lord would direct your steps. If for some reason it's not Matthew and Katie, God will watch over this church. He loves you, folks. He loves what God is doing, what he's doing here. This is his work, not any of ours individually, right? This is God's great work. We're a part of it. What a joy to be a blessing and just say, yes, I want to do God's work here. So we're praying diligently with you. Trust that God will give you just wonderful days ahead here, and we're excited about that. Well, as we wrap up, the choir has sung about our great God. And God has called us in Psalm 135 to praise him. I am so glad that our God is not so transcendent, so above us, that at times we have a hard time thinking through our relationship with him, and then being able to have, in a very real, practical, everyday sense, ability to think through his blessings in my life and his goodness to me. He's not so far up there that he doesn't touch me. He actually does all the time, right? Aren't you glad, believer, that God has promised to be near? And so much of what we learn about our great God is his titles that touch who my life is. He is my shepherd. He's the bread of life. Those things are real and tangible. And our God is what we call imminent. He's right here with us. So this great, powerful God, something that no other God in this world can even claim or come close to, of course, because they are, as Psalm 135 says, they're false. They have no good end. Our God is both great over us and lives right beside us. So in this passage here, we see some reality of the great God doing his great work, and his children are able to just be a part of the great work. Now, this is an Old Testament setting. This is not the church in the Old Testament, and we're not trying to put Israel in the New Testament, our time. But the principle is who our God is still true. He's the same, as was mentioned. The same yesterday, today, forever, right? So who he was back then, creator, king, redeemer, he just, earlier in chapters in Exodus, had redeemed Israel out of Egypt. And that beautiful picture of redemption still is a picture for us to cling to as we realize that Christ came and died for our sins so that we could be redeemed out of the bondage of sin. He doesn't just do redemption. He is a redeemer. That's who he has been from eternity past. No wonder it says of Jesus Christ that he was slain from the foundation of the world. That's who God is. Always ready to redeem those whom he's created, who have rebelled against him. And he's offered redemption. He says, come, receive. And so we see this redemption again lived out here in Exodus 17. I'm down in verse number 8. Would you join me there? Exodus 17, verse number 8. They had just received water from the rock. There was complaining. We're only about 3 months into the wilderness wanderings. Lots of stuff have happened. Israel has had ups and downs in 3 months. Does that sound like your life sometimes? One day's good, the next day's bad. And I'm trusting the Lord, the next day I'm struggling with my sin. And that's Israel for you. Well, here we have a major, major conflict comes up, something outside of their control and their attack. Verse 8, then came Amalek and fought with Israel in Rephidim. Now, at this moment in history, Amalek is somewhat of a marauding people. They were known for riding camels, and they would come up on anybody that was unsusceptible. They would check you out. They would like send out spies. It would be the picture that we have of the American Indian from our past. And they would sneak up on you, and then they would just come and attack and steal everything. They had no care for people and their lives. All they wanted is your stuff. That's the Amalekites. It's not a pretty picture. And Moses said unto Joshua, so here they are, it looks like surrounding them. They know that the battle is about to happen. And Moses said unto Joshua, choose us out men and go out and fight with Amalek. Tomorrow I will stand on the top of the hill with the rod of God in my hand. Now there's a lot wrapped up here. By the way, this is the first mention of Joshua. And yet he's already in a place of leadership. He's called on by Moses to be the general, the leader, the commander of Israel's army. We're just out into the wilderness. They had just been slaves. They had just been building cities and pyramids. We do know there's a reference as they come out But it says they came out, and I'll put it into modern vernacular, they came out fully armed. It seems as though in the spoiling of the nation of Egypt, remember they said to borrow all kinds of stuff from your neighbors, that they also took a lot of their swords and armor. This is very interesting. So, but I will tell you, 3 months is not a long time to prepare to get ready for a major battle. I know that we have, you know, approximately 12-ish weeks for basic training, but it's just that, basic, right? And these folks have been running, the wilderness trying to figure out what's going on. They've crossed the Red Sea. There's not been a lot of time to stop and have practice sword fights. And that's where they stand, and that Joshua is supposed to lead them. And Moses says, I'm going to go to the top of the hill with the rod of God in my hand. Now, that staff that he had been essentially given by God, that was the staff that he had as a shepherd, but God had claimed it as his own, and it was a picture. It was not the reality. It was the picture of the reality. It was the picture of God's great power. You read through the plagues, read through this first part of the wilderness water, and the rod is always there, and it demonstrates God's presence and his power. So Moses is going to picture for Israel, as they're in battle, I'm up above you, you can see me. Isn't God up above us? Right. With the rod of God in my hand. God is with you down there as you're fighting these Amalekites. And his power is available. Now let's go on. Verse 10. So Joshua did as Moses said unto him. What a great way to learn to be a leader is to follow. And fought with Amalek. And Moses, Aaron, and Hur. Hur was a him. Okay, just so Moses. You can smile every once in a while. Okay, there we go. Moses, Aaron, and Hur went up to the top of the hill. We don't know a lot about Hur. Some have surmised Josephus, the historian, said that Hur was Miriam, that's Moses and Aaron's sister, was Miriam's husband. Be that as it may, he was definitely another leader. His name comes up a couple other times. He's up there helping Moses. And it came to pass, when Moses held up his hand, that Israel prevailed. So he has the rod of God, he raises it up, Israel prevails in the battle. And when he let down his hand, Amalek prevailed. God is calling us to always trust him and keep our eyes on him. That's the way of life with God. He's all-powerful. He's the one through whom we can conquer. The great God that the choir sung about is our God, but we must trust him. So the rod of God comes down and Amalek prevails. But Moses' hands were heavy. Go home this afternoon. I'll challenge the young people and the teenagers. Just hold your hands up. Just don't have anything in it. Just hold your hands up. And see if you can keep it up for 2 minutes. Just two. And tell me what it feels like by that point. All right? All right, so this is a physiological issue here for Moses. Trying to picture the power of God. But he's a man. He's rather hairy. All right, so what do? We have the great helpers here. They put his hand up. So Moses' hands were heavy, and they took a stone, put it under him, and he sat there on, and Aaron and Hur stayed up his hands, the one on the one side and the other on the other side, and his hands were steady until the going down of the sun. And Joshua, discomfited. That's a great word, isn't it? It just sounds like it is. He tore them all apart. All right? He discomfited Amalek and his people with the edge of the sword. So here we have this major battle. The presence of God is being demonstrated by the rod of God being held up by Moses, Aaron, and Hur. And it says that Joshua, verse 14, Joshua is the one that discomfited Amalek. Now, tell me, folks, who really did that work? Well, that's not an easy answer. Don't be quick. Because the Bible says that Joshua did. Well, then what in the world was Moses doing up there with the rod of God? Oh, no, God did. This is one of those times where the multiple credentials is all above, is right. Yes, the answer is yes. Both God and Joshua and Israel did the work. Folks, we serve an all-powerful God, but we must serve. Child of God, don't be a bump on a log in God's kingdom work and God's church work. He needs you. He's chosen you to be his hands, his feet, his sword bearer in this battle against sin, Satan, and hell. He has asked us. Remember the triumphal entry? The Jewish leaders, Jesus, tell your disciples to be quiet. They were crying out, God save us. Hallelujah. And he said, if they didn't, the stones would cry out. So that tells us a lot about us. We're not much more than a bunch of rocks. But he's chosen you and I to be his servants. And he wants us to serve this great God. I'm not worthy. Who is? He's the all-transcendent God, the great God. He wants us. He's right here. Just like Moses with the rod was telling him, Israel, I'm with you. Go fight. And God honors his servant Joshua, in conquering the Amalekites. You see, at the end of the day, if you're trying to remember or write notes, here's a simple truth. God's work is my work. Child of God, be about it. Get at it. We serve a great God. He's going to be right there with you. He's going to help you, but he wants you to get at it. You teach at Market Manor Christian School. Tomorrow morning, you might have to this afternoon. Get at it. Get to God's work. Maybe you're a part of one of the various ministries of the church family here. Get at it. There's people that live right around here that don't know the Lord as their Savior. We've all been commissioned to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. That's God's work. Get at it. God's work is my work. Now, aren't you glad that the all-powerful God is right there with us to help us? But I need to get at it. Let's keep on going on. Verse 15. Verse 14. And the Lord said unto Moses, write this for a memorial in a book and rehearse it in the ears of Joshua. Now notice, this is very personal at this moment. God said, Moses, you need to write this down, what's happened today, for a remembrance, a memorial, and it's for Joshua. Rehearse it. Was it like his bedtime story? They didn't have record players and CD players and Apple Music back then. Kick it on, Joshua. You got to listen. Let me tell you again the story of God's great work. Rehearse it for Joshua. For why did Joshua need to know this? For I will utterly put out the remembrance of Amalek from under heaven. Because Amalek had come against God's plan and God's work and God's people, God said, I will judge them permanently one day. Now, do you remember the rest of the story? Did Joshua ever destroy the rest of the Amalekites? He didn't. So wait a second. Why would Joshua be the one to get the book of remembrance? God knew that he would have him lead the children of Israel. God knew that that heritage needed to be passed on. In fact, God knew that all Israel needed to be told, go get Amalek. When did that happen? King Saul, 400 plus years later. And he kind of blew it. Thankfully, there was a prophet named Samuel that took care of the rest of those that were still living. Isn't that amazing? God will always keep his word, and yet he wants his children to remember. Child of God here today, has Lord Jesus Christ come? Has the rapture happened yet? I shake your head no. All right. It hasn't, all right? No. Are we supposed to occupy until he comes? The answer is yes. That means there's more work to do for us. Israel had work to do. O church age saint, until the Lord returns, we have work to be done. You say, the world's hard. Well, yeah, like Amalek. It will be battles. It'll be hard. But let us remember what we've been commissioned to do. Aren't you glad that God wrote down in this book all that we need for life and for godliness? I don't have to wonder what I need to be about in my life. I need to be about God's work. It's my work. I need to remember it, study it, analyze God's word, and love it dearly. Oh, child of God, God's work has work yet remaining. Be found faithful. Yes, the battles will be hard. He's even told us that. He's kind of let us know that as you get in the last days, things will get worse and worse. I don't know about you, I kind of sense that, right? Oh, that means I can quit and go home? Cloister? Let's stay right here in the walls of Market Manor Baptist Church. And we'll hide out here. That's not the option. God is called, like he did for Israel here, he's called us to continue to do his work. And so we see, as we come to the end, Moses built an altar, verse 15. He called the name of it Jehovah Nissi. Jehovah Nissi. God, my signal pole. What's a signal pole? Well, we don't use them anymore today in battle. But that was the pole upon which they would put a banner so you knew where your army was. Think, if you can think back, for us to think back to Civil War days. Remember that flag bearer? You've heard plenty of stories of those men dying as they were out in front of their unit, their army, leaving. This is where we stand. This is our line. We're here. And the flag would help the soldiers know where they needed to be. God is my signal pole. I never have to wonder what I should be about. I just need to know where to belong. And that's with my God. Obeying and following him. Doing his work. It's my work too. Knowing that he's there. There's still work remaining. Well, come on, folks. Let's rally around the flag, boys. Rally around the flag. Sounding the battle cry of freedom. The freedom from sin. The freedom from ruin. The freedom from this world and all of its philosophy and utter darkness. We have a great God. Now, thankfully, he'll never drop the flag. Thankfully, it'll always be there ready for us to rally around. Aren't you glad that we have something more than just some human to rally around? That makes this church work really important. Do you realize that your pastor is not the signal pole? Maybe he's the lightning rod. Anyway, no. No, Jesus Christ is. He's the head of the church. He's the leader here. Folks, follow. He's right there ready to lead you. Would you follow him in every area of your life? We have this wonderful, great God. Let us follow our wonderful Lord. They worship God. You see, God's work calls for our worship. It's my work, just like it's God's work. There's lots of work remaining, but there's also moments to stop and praise God for his goodness. They stopped. They had defeated. They were still living. The Amalekites had come, surrounded them. It's like, this is not looking good. And guess what God did? He does what he always does. He redeemed them. Through the hand of Joshua and all the men that were fighting the battle, God got the praise. It was worthy of them to give him worship. Folks, why do we gather together regularly? Oh, for numerous reasons, but a high point is to worship our great God. I remember, to me, it's very alive. So, as I was growing up, Dad's a pastor eventually, after being on a farmer and been a businessman, called to preach, so he goes to Maranatha to learn. He's out, he's a pastoring a church, planning a church, and it was very normal. We're central Wisconsin, western Wisconsin, I'm farming. I'm the hired hand. I got the guy that's doing all the dirty work around the farm. Often, a couple of farmers, they hired me for the summer just so that by the end of the summer, they could have a 2 or 3 day vacation. I would run the farm while they were away. They hadn't had vacation for years. You know, it's 24/7. You got to milk the cows every day. It doesn't matter. In those moments, as I'm sometimes all alone, but with an unbelieving farmer, liking to listen to the world's music in the barn as he's milking the cows, there were times where I could not wait to get to God's house, to be with God's people. My soul was hungry. It had been battered and beaten. Trying to share God's word with the farmer who would reject it. And all you did was eat, work, and sleep. That was it. The farm days are long. And I would come together with God's people. And it was that moment of utter refreshment. It was like rallying around a banner. My heart was refreshed and encouraged, and I would worship my God. My direction would be set straight again. I'd get back at the work with renewed energy and excitement. My God is still king. It caused me to sing while I was irrigating the corn. or mowing the hay. Folks, God wants us, because it's His work and it's my work, because there's work remaining, because He's our signal pole, He's our banner, He wants us to worship Him. As you gather together on a regular basis, and you should, don't forsake it, even so much the more as we see the day approaching. Let your worship proclaim the goodness of your God. Leave here today encouraged and fired up that there's a God that's with you as you go out and serve Him in the great work. I'm going to close in a word of prayer while I'm praying. The choir is going to be coming in to sing one last song, a song of great encouragement about God's presence being with us all through life and even through death. And then we'll turn it over to the pastor. Let's pray. Lord, there's so much that can be said about You, and it's beyond our ability to communicate it all. I thank You for this sweet example from Exodus chapter 17, where there was the visual picture from the rod of God being held up by Moses of Your presence. And yet there was the reality that the Israelites, as led by Joshua, had to bear the sword, fight the battle. And then they were reminded that there was still work to be done. Joshua, the leader, had to be told, Joshua, there's still work to do. Keep leading the folks. Oh, Lord, just like that, we have work to be doing yet. Father, help this church family. It would be a delight to hear in a year from now that there are folks in a part of the church that have been saved this year, baptized, being discipled. Lord, there's people here today with some desperate spiritual needs, and there needs to be a brother or sister in Christ that will come alongside them and disciple, encourage, help them to be about Your work, Lord. Lord, I pray that when You return, that Market Manor Baptist Church will still be shining as a bold light for the Lord Jesus Christ, having rallied around their great banner, their signal pole, their Savior and Lord Jesus Christ. Father, if there's one here today without the Savior, please draw them to Thyself. We thank You for Your word. It's in Your name we pray. Amen.